Amen. Well, I want to say this morning that God can. Amen. God can.
Yes.
God can do exceeding abundant more than we could ever ask of or think, as I read from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. God can do amazing things. Now, I don't know about you, but I guess your life, like my life, has turned out to be a bit of an epic journey. I mean, I'm at 52 and, you know, life has become a massive, quite long journey already. And hopefully I've got a few more years left. But life is a journey for all of us. And it's particularly for us here this morning, a journey of faith. Throughout the last couple of years, I've had some mountaintop experiences and I've also had some valley experiences. I've had some days that I thought, man alive, I don't want to go through that again. And I've had some other times when I've been dancing on the mountaintops thinking, this is great. This is the life. I've had some high moments that have been recorded in my brain that I can recall and cherish and think about. I can remember just a couple of years ago being summoned to the House of Lords and being given an award for my work with Langley House Trust, working with ex-prisoners. And that was a great honour to go to the House of Lords and to take that award. And then it was a really high moment, you know, last summer when I had a phone call saying, would you pray about coming to Millpool? And being here this morning, I have to genuinely say, is a high point. It was great to be in California with the kids, but we're so glad to be back amongst you, our spiritual family, this morning. That's a high, just being at Millpool is fantastic. And becoming grandparents, well, that's awesome as well. So I've had some good points over the last couple of years. And I'm sure if I took the microphone around this morning, you could say, hey, this was a massive high point in my life. Eileen had a special birthday recently. I hope that that was a high point and that this year, 2018, won't be just like a birthday, but the whole year, Eileen, is going to be a year of blessing for you and your family in Jesus' name. And, you know, we've all had these moments where you think, yeah, I could write a book. I could testify about how great this is. I've had some low points as well, but that's reality. I've had the mountaintop experiences, but I've also been down in the valley, having some days with illness, particularly recently, hasn't been nice. I've had 50 odd years of good health, so suddenly when you hit a speed bump of illness, you think, where did that ache come from? Shoulder pain, it keeps coming back, and the doctor says, oh, it's muscular, and take an ibuprofen and pray, and you know, and it's still there. And I've had x-rays and things, and it's nothing really sinister, but, you know, I'm doing exercises and things, and it still hasn't gone. And I'm beginning to realise that actually, when you get older, it doesn't come on its own. And some of you are looking at me thinking, Richard, you're just a young pup. Wait till you get to 80, and, you know, getting out of bed's difficult. But so I've had some low moments with pain and going to the hospital. Last summer, when my father-in-law suddenly died, and Lynn was literally thousands of miles away in the jungle. And I had to pick up the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning, Lynn's time in Costa Rica, and explain to her that her dad had passed. That was a terrible low. And taking the funeral service for your father-in-law of over 30 years, that was a hard time and a low time. And still now and again, I have to say, hits us with bouts of sadness, and we're working through our own bereavement. So I've had some low times, and then a couple of years back, just over a year ago, I had a low point. I'd gone out somewhere and parked the car, and I came back and found that I'd been given a car parking ticket. And the annoying thing was, I'd parked in a big car park where there were like 100 bays, and it was tipping down the rain, and I was taking one of the ex-prisoners to go to a shop and supporting him, taking something back to the shop. And I had the work van with me, and as we kind of pulled up, I pulled up next to a green Rolls Royce, and I thought, I better not park too close to this car, because the guy I've got with me won't appreciate the value of that car. He'll open up the door and dent the works minibus door against the Rolls Royce door. So I thought, I'd just park over a little bit more. Didn't think anything of it. Went into the shop. It took over an hour to get this person's problem sorted out because he couldn't quite grasp what the shopkeeper was saying to him. So I was very patient, went back to the van, and then there was a yellow sticker on the windscreen. And I'd been stickered because I was just slightly over the bay. And there was nobody else in the car park, but there was somebody waiting to pounce on me. And, you know, I'd gone in that day doing a bit of overtime to help them out. And I can remember picking up the phone, telling Lynn, I've got a £95 bill for parking like that far over the bay. And so I wasn't happy. So that wasn't good. And then, you know, that really kind of, I guess I paid it straight away, as you should do. But, you know, it was simmering in me. And I had this kind of root of bitterness. And if that wasn't a low point in my life, it got a whole lot worse. Because I went to youth over in Swindon. And I was the youth pastor along with Lynn. And we pulled up at the car park outside the church where we normally park. And it's a pay and display one. And as I pulled up the car, there was this guy. He had his jacket on with his kind of bandolier over one side and his little electronic machine. And he was taking photographs as he was putting tickets on people's cars. And when I saw that, I tell you what, my blood started going up. And I thought, yeah, people like you, you know. So as I got out of the car, Lynn said, like, don't say anything. But, you know, it was too late because the blood level had gone up. And as I walked past this guy, he was kind of taking photographs and what have you. And I said, like, having a nice day, are you? Like that to him. And I went and paid my ticket. And Lynn was getting out of the car and she could hear this kind of interaction. And this guy was, he did everything right. He was doing his job. And he was trained, you know, not to interact with Joe Public. You know, don't, you know, how to, like, you know, kind of not get involved with angry people. And he was taking all these photographs. So I went back up to him. Having a nice day, are you? Do you think you're David Bailey with that camera? And Lynn's on the other side of a car park. And she's saying, Richard! Richard, like this. And she's got this invisible lead, like wife's had, pulling me back in. We got into the church a few seconds later, and Lynn looked at me. And I tell you what, you know, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. But Lynn's quick. She got in there before the Holy Spirit. You're an Assemblies of God pastor. You're a youth pastor. You're a pillar in society. And look what you're doing. You know, you've lost your testimony. And she was right. And, you know, and I thought about that. I thought, crumbs, you know, I let myself down. I let the young people down, not that they were there to sit, but I let God down, let the church down, let my wife down, let everybody down, really. And that carnal side of me just kind of rose up. And I realized that, you know, that was a really low point for me, because at that point I realized, just, I feel like I'm a million miles away from what God wants me to be. And that's me just being real with you this morning. You know, thankfully, I've seen traffic wardens since. I still feel kind of a little bit, you know, why do we have to have them? And what a horrible job. But I've managed to keep this shut. I'm like zipping, you know, off that children's TV program. So I've kept my mouth shut and I'm trying to work through a good attitude in that. But I feel at times I'm a million miles away from what I should be. And maybe some of us this morning have had some low points. Sometimes, you know, those low points are just circumstantial. But that low point for me in the car park was because I made a choice. You know, and we make bad choices sometimes and then low points come into our lives. So here I am, hoping that things will get much better. Pastor Leslie has said many times in this church, the best is yet to be. And we are all believing, surely, that that is the case. Despite having low moments in my life over the last year or so, I've made a firm decision that even if it's a rubbish day, that I'm not giving up on my faith, because he's not giving up on me. I'm going to believe that through all the difficulties, if I can't go round it, if I have to go through it, that there's going to be a good outcome. And Paul, in his letter to Timothy, says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I've committed unto God, like I'm sure the rest of us have, I've committed unto God the fact that I am trying my best to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm not there yet, but I'm running that race. Sometimes I stumble, Sometimes I falter, but I am running the race of faith. I am trying to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I am trying to embody and embrace a godly character and the attitude of Christ. And there are times, you know, when I let God down, and there will be times when you will let God down as well, because we're all human. But we need to understand that that which we have committed unto him, he is keeping unto that day. So just because you have a bad day doesn't mean to say that you've got a bad life. It was a bad day in that car park in Swindon. It wasn't a nice moment when my wife explained to me very lovingly how I had let myself down and my testimony down. But you know, it was a bad day, but it didn't mean to say that Richard Pidgley's life is a bad life. And you might be going through a bad week or a bad day, and you might have even had a bad year, but it doesn't make it a bad life, because God is in the business of actually bringing us through situations.
Yeah, hallelujah.
So I've committed unto him the fact that I'm trying to be a disciple, and I'm trying to become more and more like Jesus day by day. The good news is, although we might have a bad day, the good news is, although we might let ourselves down and our family down and others down, God is in the business of forgiving, and he's also in the business of doing something new. And as we think about the beginning of 2018, let's just consider this amazing thing that God is in the business of doing new things. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. God says, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. I am about to do something new. God is about to do something new in your life, my life, and at the church here in Millpool. I am believing that in 2018, God is going to do something new. We rejoice in what has gone before. But as Pastor Leslie said, the best is yet, because God is still in the business of creating and doing new things. This is going to be an outstanding year for all of us. I'm believing that. Ezekiel 36, God says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Lord, that's the kind of heart I want. I want that kind of heart, Lord. And God can do heart surgery this morning in my heart and in your life by the power of his Spirit. So I had a few bad moments. And I guess if you're honest, you've had a few bad moments as well. And even Her Majesty the Queen, with her resolute and genuine personal faith in the Lord Jesus, has endured her low seasons as well. You probably remember in her speech on the 24th of November 1992, she described her year as an annus horribilis, a horrible year. She had a dreadful year, and it wasn't one that she wanted to go through again. But I'm glad that Her Majesty has kept her faith. And I'm glad that that which she has committed unto the Lord, she is believing that God will keep that unto the day that she enters heaven like the rest of us. So the last year of our lives, the last few weeks maybe, even the last few days, may have been disappointing. But we need to understand this morning, as we look at disappointment, and maybe you are feeling disappointed in how things have worked out at your job. Maybe you're disappointed at how things have worked out in your family. Maybe you're disappointed at how your finances or your dreams haven't quite realized the way that you'd hope they'd be. But this morning we need to understand that we have a Father in heaven that also understands what disappointment is all about. You see, God has a father's heart. He knows what it is to experience disappointment. And the Bible tells us that God's heart was so disappointed at how things worked out after creation. I think one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is taken from Genesis chapter 6, verses 5-6. God saw that human evil was out of control. People thought evil, imagined evil, 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 from morning to night. God was sorry that he had made the human race in the first place, It broke his heart. That's so sad, isn't it? To think that God made man in his image. God had such good intentions, such a wonderful design for everything, and then we decided we can do things better without God. And when God saw that, the continual evil and the brokenness that sin brings into lives, and the disruption of community that God had intended, and the harmony of it all, it broke God's heart. So God knows what disappointment is about as well. God was disappointed also at the way he had blessed his people in the days of Jeremiah the prophet. He was disappointed at their response to him because it was one of coldness of heart, one of indifference. Jeremiah 18, verse 15. But my people have left me to worship the big lie. What is the big lie? The big lie today. It's wrapped up in lots of things, but the big lie today in our societies is today's society says we do not need God. That's the big lie. But friends, we are desperate for God. We are desperate for his life in our lives. So God spoke into the situation in the days of Jeremiah. And let's turn, shall we, to Jeremiah chapter 18. If you've got your Bible, if you've got a phone with the Bible package on, let's just look at Jeremiah chapter 18 this morning, just briefly. God spoke to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 18. God told Jeremiah, up on your feet, go to the potter's house. When you get there, I'll tell you what I have to say. So I went to the potter's house, and sure enough, the potter was there, working away at his wheel. Whenever the pot the potter was working on turned out badly, as sometimes happens when you are working with clay, the potter would simply start over and use the same clay to make another pot. Then God's message came to me. Can't I do just as this potter does, people of Israel? God's decree. Watch this potter. In the same way that this potter works his clay, I work on you, people of Israel. So Jeremiah is spoken to by God. God says, Jeremiah, I want you to go to the potter's house. Jeremiah goes to the potter's house. And Jeremiah realizes that actually God can speak to us in all sorts of ways. God can speak to us through his word, the scriptures, by the power of his spirit, and by what we see. God is able to be very creative in how he speaks to us. And he'll speak to us all differently at times. But Jeremiah is obedient, and he goes to the potter's house, and I guess, you know, the door's open and the window's open, and there's the potter, and he's sitting there at his wheel, and the clay is in his hands, and he's making something. And as Jeremiah looks through the window, he can see that behind the potter, possibly on shelves, are lots of good pots that have been made, pots that would be sold and used and be useful to people, pots that will adorn houses, and pots that will have vital functions for the comfort of man. And as Jeremiah sees all this, he's looking at the potter, and the potter's kind of working, and you know, it's not working out right. Some of you remember the generation game, when they used to kind of do the pottery wheel. You know, it'd be two families, and it'd be one family, you know, having a go. Well, there'd be four of them, and they'd all have a potter's wheel, and the clay's going, and somebody would show them to start with how to make a pot, and it looks so easy in the hands of somebody else who knows what they're doing. And suddenly this bit of clay suddenly comes a nice pot, and Bruce Forsyth saying, good game, and he's going along the line. And then it's like the father and the daughter, and then the mother and the son, you know, the generations doing it. And when they have a go, the clay's going everywhere. It's going all over everybody's suits. It's going into the TV camera lens. It's going everywhere. And that's how it would be for me. And as Jeremiah looks into the potter's house, you know, there's a mess going on. And Jeremiah's thinking like, oh, that potter, he's going to get hold of that clay and he's going to throw it through the window because he's so fed up of it. It's not doing what he wants it to do. And you can imagine Jeremiah thinking, I've got to lower my head down here because I'm going to get a face full of clay any minute now coming through our open window. But something happens. The potter doesn't throw the clay away because the potter has vision for that clay. You see, it's not just a squishy substance in his hands. The potter knows that that clay in his hands can yet be something special, that it can yet become something that will be beautiful, yet become something that can be useful to other people. And so the potter, with patience and with vision and with a determination and a purpose of heart, gets hold of that clay and, rather than throwing it out, begins to work it again. And as the clay goes round and round, Jeremiah suddenly sees from this mess of clay, this squishy clay, suddenly a pot appearing almost out of nowhere in the hands of the potter. You don't have to be a theologian or go to Bible college to understand this particular passage of scripture, because it's pretty obvious that the potter was disappointed that the clay had gone wrong. And yet the potter saw value in that clay and how it was more than just a squishy substance, but it would become something useful in his hands. The potter had vision for the clay. And friends, we can see in this scripture that God is saying, I am the divine potter. I am the divine potter with a clay. God says, can I not do with you as the potter did with the clay? God can do anything. Anything. And when we consider the mess sometimes we make of things, when we consider the stupidity of our own stubborn human hearts, when I consider the stupidity of going and verbally having a go at a traffic warden, and, you know, joking aside, that's stupid. Fancy letting myself down and Jesus down like that. And I feel like I'm a million miles away from what God wants me to be. Because the Bible says that God wants us to conform to the image of Christ. And I feel sometimes I'm so far away from that. I so desperately want to be that. I want to be like Jesus. And then when I feel like giving up, God whispers into my spirit and says, can I not do with you? And if you're here this morning and you think it's been a rough year, it hasn't worked out. The job that I wanted, I haven't got it yet. And my finances, I was trying to budget so hard and trying to save and do the right thing, and it's all just gone to pot. And I so wanted just to kind of bring the family together. And every time I've done that, it seems like there's even more hassle amongst the kids. And maybe we just feel it's, you know, where are we going with all this? It's such a mess. God specializes in taking a mess, and he says, can I not do with you? And if you're here this morning and you're thinking last year was not a good year and this year hasn't really started that great at the moment, God whispers to your heart this morning. He says, can I not do with you? God can do anything. Amen. He powerfully works his grace into the empty and broken lives of people all around the world. Bill Gaver used to sing that little song. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful out of my life. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful out of my life. You see, God can take pearls. God can make pearls from the grit in a shellfish. God can make emeralds from squishy clay. God can make diamonds that sparkle from carbon. And God can take hold of sinners and make spirit-filled saints. God can do it. And you say this morning, Richard, I need to change. Well, God is able to help us change from the inside out. He does it by the power of His Holy Spirit deep within us. I need help. Well, God can help us when we're at rock bottom. You say, I need healing. God can heal the sick this morning. And if it takes it, He can even raise the dead. He can do far more, exceeding abundant. So maybe you feel that things haven't turned out the way that you'd hoped. Maybe you've had a disappointing time lately. Don't give up. We're praying for you. We love you. We're cheering you on. Hey, we're the Millpool Hill Church family. We're in this together. We're a family. We support one another. Don't give up. Remember this. God has an amazing vision for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. Don't ever forget that. The potter had a purpose for the clay. And God is the divine potter. And He has a purpose for your life and for my life. Now at the beginning of this year, remember that. There is a purpose for your life. Secondly, God wants to place His hands upon you, just as He placed His hands upon the clay. And you say, I'm not sure if I feel comfortable with God putting His hands upon me. Wow, it's kind of scary, letting God put His hands upon me. But remember, His hands were pierced for you. Do you think the hands that were pierced for you are going to harm you? Of course not. The hands that were stretched out upon that rugged cross, that were pierced for you, that took the nails of your sin, they're not going to harm you. Those same hands that were pierced for our sins are uplifted now to bless us, because He is our great high priest, whoever prays for us. They're open for our supply, and they're engraved with our names, so He'll never forget us. Let Him put His hands upon you. Believe that He has a plan for your life, and let His hands come upon you. And thirdly and finally, allow Him to apply pressure, because the potter has to have vision for the squishy clay. The potter has to put His hands upon the clay to begin to mould, and then begin to apply pressure. And that's where we have to trust Him. You say, I'm not ready for pressure. I don't know if I can take it. I say to you this morning, be at peace. The Creator knows what He's doing. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28. For we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Can I not do as the potter did with the clay? That's what God is saying to us this morning. And I think our response this morning should be, Lord, we believe. Yes, You can do anything. God can. But the important thing is this morning is, are we willing to let God get His hands upon us? Are we willing for Him to remould us? And if we've had a bit of a disaster, if you've had a bit of a run-in with a traffic warden, whatever it was in your life, if you feel that things haven't panned out the way you'd hoped, hey, God still has a plan for us this year. And right now, this morning, before we go home, we can do business with God. So we're going to sing that song again, Devon. We'll take up the offering in the song as well, but the one you played, you know, the potter's hands. And we'll take up the offering in a song. But let's stand in the presence of God. And as we give to the Lord and as we sing and worship, let's put our hands, our lives afresh in His hands. Let Him do what only He can do for us this morning.